Welcome to Reinventions in Between, your go-to podcast for real stories of reinvention that happen between life stages, career changes, and living abroad. I'm Sara Coggiola, life coach, intercultural trainer, and reinventions facilitator, helping people on their quest to what's next. I have reinvented myself a few times, and in the past 16 years, I have collected fascinating stories of change. In each episode, my guests will talk about why and how they took the leap and seized the opportunity to change their life. Let's begin.
So we moved. So I was an empty nester, moving to a new place, relocating again, yet again. And I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe I need to start writing about my experiences. I do have a blog, which is wanderingidentity.com, which I started writing about 4 years ago. And there I share snippets and stories of my life, you know, traveling life, not just as an adult, but also as a child. And so many people were reading it and were sort of really enjoying my stories. I thought to myself, well, maybe this could become something a little bit more than just a blog.
Welcome, everyone. Today, I have the pleasure of sitting with the fabulous Sam Frazon.
No, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for accepting my invitation. So Sam is a third generation global nomad, and she has raised 4 TCK, so third culture kids, all over the world. Now her children live in Barcelona, the US, in Sydney. And now she's living in Greece, 17th country for her. The family has different numbers, but we will see that later when we unfold her story. It's an amazing story. So Sam, of course, she has lived all over the world, and that's why she has to reinvent herself over and over again. So she was the perfect candidate for this podcast. And she says, as well as being a full-time mom, a taxi driver, we know what it is, a psychologist, to rootless teens, a dog lover, she has dabbled in various sectors, such as advertising, relocation, we share that one, education and administration. She believes that individuals' identity springs from more from who you are rather than where you are from. That's a very interesting concept. Now she's concentrating on writing her memoir. Is the title ready to be disclosed? Can I mention?
Oh, well, yes. I mean, it's still a working title, but please go ahead.
I remember you mentioned that you were working on the title. So, Wandering Identity Beneath a Borrowed Sky. Welcome, Sam. Do you want to start telling about this memoir and how this came to your desk and to life, this idea?
Yeah, so thanks again, Sara, for having me here. I'm so happy to be speaking with you on your Reinventions in Between podcast. So thanks again. So how did this come about? As you mentioned, you know, I've been moving around all my life. This is my 17th country I'm living in. Throughout my life, I've had to reinvent myself. And just recently, a year ago, my husband and I became empty nesters. So our last child, our baby, moved to Sydney. And I found myself, you know, an empty nester. We also then moved. So we were living in Italy, in Modena at the time. And my husband got another opportunity to work actually from Madrid in Spain. So we moved. So I was an empty nester, moving to a new place, relocating again, yet again. And I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe I need to start writing about my experiences. I do have a blog, which is wanderingidentity.com, which I started writing about 4 years ago. And there I share snippets and stories of my life, you know, traveling life, not just as an adult, but also as a child. And so many people were reading it and were sort of really enjoying my stories. I thought to myself, well, maybe this could become something a little bit more than just a blog. I was very, very lucky to, I mean, these things happen all the time, I think, especially in a life like mine, where I'm constantly moving, constantly meeting new people. I do know a lot of people all over the world, and connections are super, super important. Anyway, about a year and a half ago, I found out that a good friend of mine, a very old school friend of mine, was a book editor, a book coach. And And, you know, I had been writing, you know, more for the book, but at this point, you know, about 18 months ago, but I didn't have any structure. I didn't really know what I was doing. So I got hold of her. I got in touch with her and she was delighted to help me. And I've been working with her ever since. So she's my book coach. Yeah. So we've been working together ever since. And she really helped me with a very extended outline first, rather than just writing any random thoughts that were coming into my head. She helped me with the extended outline. And now what I'm doing currently is writing from literally page one to however many pages it ends up being, which will probably be around 400 pages, something like that. So that's what I'm doing right now. And I'm very excited because my book coach has really helped me just be very focused. And the fact that I'm also an empty nester and the fact that we've moved, because we moved, as I mentioned before, we moved from Italy to Madrid and then we moved again because we're now in Greece, we're in Athens. It's given me that time, that blessed, amazing word, that essential time to be able to spend my days just putting words down on the paper. And it's coming on very, very well. So that's one thing that I've been doing, which is really my main focus. And then out of that, you know, Isabel Guidastri from Here We Are Italy in Modena, she very kindly, she said, I would love you to talk about your journey, your life journey, your writer's journey. What do you think? And I'm not a public speaker in any way whatsoever. So I was like, whoa, do you really want me to stand up there and talk about myself? I don't know. She said, no, I think it'd be really interesting. So I did that and it went very, very well. And through that, I then ended up actually talking to giving a talk at the International School of Modena as well. Wow. And it was super interesting because I was talking to parents, teachers, and students about this way of life in an international school. So two parents, students, and teachers who have had the experience themselves. Quite interestingly enough, they didn't even know the terminology third culture kids. Yeah. So I was able to explain that, you know, that you're not the only ones, you know, you're feeling the way you're feeling, but it's just so normal because of all the changes that you've had to deal with. And there's actually a thing called is the third culture kid. And anyway, so I ended up being this public speaker and that went really, really well. And they are looking forward to having me back once my book is published. So hopefully that'll start another thing. So,
congratulations. That's a great news. And I just wanted to take a moment to highlight how amazing is one person life experiences. I was listening to you and the image to my mind came like Mary Poppins opening up a bag and pulling out elements. In this case, where your life story and experiences and how are you now able to leverage all that knowledge and experiences in different ways and be, I suppose, in service of others as well, because I suppose going to share your experience to me, for example, for this project, the podcast, I always say that every story is a gift to the listener, to myself as well, that I have the honor of helping tell the story. Everyone can be inspired. Everyone can learn a bit and relate to some part of that experience and process of reinvention. But in your case, I really love the way you very humbly and simply you want to put your own life story in the hand of others and let them do something with their life as well. So it's very important what you said about teacher as well in the international school. Not only families are going through challenges of a life abroad. I see very much the impact of your activity. And I had this word in your questionnaire, impact. I think it's a very important word and especially not always attached to women, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've not done this in a professional way. To me, it's just all my personal experiences. And I am a people person. I love connecting with different people from all over the world, from different backgrounds, but particularly to other global nomads and other, you know, families who have never done it before. I love to help them, you know, give them advice, give them as much advice as I can, because, you know, I've been doing it for a long time. The really interesting thing is actually because I'm a third generation third culture kid. Okay, so my father was exactly the same as I I am. He was a third culture kid. And so was my grandmother. So this has really been a theme that has been going on in our family for a long, long time. And I feel that I can, that I have the tools and I have the opportunity and the experience to be able to offer my advice to whoever is, you know, whoever wants to know. So I do it more and more like real connections. That's the way I think it's just super important to share these experiences, especially in this kind of environment, because it's very, very difficult to be going from one country to another, especially when you're bringing children as well into the melee of things. And I've written it here. It's super important to always be true to yourself.
I was going to say that what you're bringing is very genuine authenticity that you are able to share with other families. And what you said, really sharing your experience to help the next generation of women, mothers, fathers who are in the same situation. And I think this is what really matters to people, right? When they recognize themselves with someone else and not just, as you mentioned before, in a professional way. Do we need always to look professional, or are we allowed to be ourselves and be authentic?
Well, I agree with you. No, we don't. And sometimes it's actually more impactful when it's not professional. Or rather, when it's not coming from a professional, it's coming from someone who's actually lived it and experienced it. Yeah. The other thing I really believe in is owning the moment, you know, being fully in one place and owning your moment. Because when we do move from one country to another, you know, people in general aren't really good at change. They don't like change. They like familiarity. So we tend to have, you know, the tendency to sort of always look back and compare and say, oh, well, you know, that's not how I did it before, or I miss, you know, these certain things, or why is it so different? And that's why I say it's really important to own the moment, keeping, you know, putting 2 feet in one place, fully in the circle, you know, and owning that moment. And there you really, really experience life so much more, so much better, so much fuller.
Such a good advice. I will add this quote in in the show notes, because I was going to ask you, I was listening to you, I was going to ask you, how many people you know in your circle that really allow themselves to such a privilege of being in the moment? It's totally true what you said. We always think about what's the next thing, and we compare to what was the past without being fully present to our present moment.
Yeah, I think it's just a natural way. But I've learned in my experience of moving around so much that you really do benefit so much more in, you know, in learning the language. That's the first thing. Learning the different ways, you know, the culture, the little idiosyncrasies that are different, you know, instead of looking at it as an idiosyncrasy or a weird thing, look at it as a, oh, wow, this is the way they do it here. Oh, how interesting. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I really do have, you know, there are good days and bad days. Like,
of course, like in everyone's life. But I love your positive approach and being driven by curiosity instead of very bluntly comparing way that is not bringing you any fruit or is not very useful, but a positive and curious open mind to what is different to us is the only way, I think. I agree with you. And so from a previous conversation, I remember you were saying, because you grew up this way, being the different one and always in this nomadic life, you were always able to look different at life, or even a different consideration of home. I was curious to know, did you discuss this within your family, or is something that you just process yourself over the years?
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting thing. So I think we live in a completely different time right now compared to our parents and their parents as well. Now it's all about sharing. It's all about talking, connecting. Before, you know, my father led the same life as I've led, but I mean, I can't remember him giving me any advice. Just because it was something that they just didn't talk about. You just got on with it, right? The same with him. and his mother. So moving forward, we live in the times where you should connect, and we know that it's good to talk about things with your children. So I really do feel that my kids have benefited.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've had exactly the same experiences as I have. They've moved around. I think we've moved six. They've lived in six different countries. And the youngest is 19 and the oldest is 25. So I've been able to help them along. I mean, I hope I have anyway.
Of course, yeah. In your own way, of course.
But, you know, it's still, I'm not saying that it was easier. I'm just saying it's been a good thing. It's been we've been lucky that I've been able to sort of help them with that side of things in life. Now, I was just speaking to my daughter who lives in Sydney, the youngest one, the 19-year-old, this morning. And, you know, she's going through a few difficulties. And because I've been there and I've done that, you know, my parents, when I went to university, I went to university in France, in Angers, in the Loire Valley. And my parents at the time were living in Egypt. So, you know, I remember that feeling. I was in France, they were in Egypt. They couldn't just sort of, you know, take a plane and come and rescue me with, you know, when I was having a difficult day or anything like that. You know, the same thing was happening this morning with Sophia, my youngest. And of course, as parents, all we want to do is jump on that plane and go and rescue them and be there and, just be there physically. But sometimes you can't do that. And I feel like the experience that I've had growing up as a kid has helped me be a little bit more realistic and not so emotional and not so, you know, not want to jump on a plane immediately, because I know that she's going to be okay. Yeah, I know she's going to be it, but we also have a massive advantage that we have FaceTime, WhatsApp, Zoom. I'm able to actually see her compared to what it was like when I was growing up. So, yeah.
Oh, international phone calls were a thing at that time. I remember when I was living in Paris as well. It was very different.
Incredibly expensive. So it never really happened. And it was all a bit, how are you? I'm okay. Okay, good. All right. Speak to you next week. That was it. And the letter writing as well. Oh my gosh, the letter writing. My mother, she would write to me once a week. But of course, by the time I received her letter, I already knew the news because she'd called me, you know? So it was sort of like, but, you know, she was amazing at that. She really kept the letter writing up.
Well, such a beautiful tradition, a profound way of keeping the connection alive compared to a quick phone call, I think. And if you think about journaling or writing, it has a different.
Yeah, I love it, but I wish I could do it. But I mean, it's the time factor, isn't it? And I keep on saying to myself, this year, I'm going to start the letter writing tradition again, but it hasn't happened yet. Maybe next year.
Maybe the second idea of your book. Are you doing it maybe through your memoir?
What do you mean?
Writing that kind of journaling or writing those ideas or things that you wanted to tell. Are you adding it into your memoir that you're in now writing?
Actually, that's a really, really good idea. I never really thought about that, actually. My memoir actually writes like a novel, but I really like that idea. You know what, Sara, I might add that. Because it's such a beautiful skill that has gone out the window. No one does it anymore. And it's so particular to that time, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I love the fact that now, this time that we're living and we're becoming more aware and mindfulness is a daily practice and the benefit of journaling are seen nearly everywhere. You can read any article or listen to a podcast and everyone is telling about the importance of writing. Yeah, actually, should we go a little bit deeper in your writing process? How did it all start and was a dream of yours writing, or how did it come? Except you mentioned before how you wanted to impact others and find the time to write, but was one of your dreams in the past or a passion?
So, yeah, I mean, talking about journaling, I have always written a diary since probably the age of seven or eight. Yeah, absolutely. I've always written my thoughts, you know, each day, every day. Yeah, I've always enjoyed writing. And then actually, when we were living in Japan, I actually started my first blog there, which was really just about sharing our experiences in Japan, more like a travel blog. And that's where I really realized, oh my gosh, I actually really enjoy doing this. This is fun. And interacting with what they're interested in what I'm writing, and they're interacting with me. So then when I moved from Japan, because I did that for a couple of years, and then when I moved from Japan to Portland in the US, it wasn't such an exciting place to sort of write about. I mean, the Pacific Northwest is amazing and beautiful, but it wasn't like, you know, wow, like the Japanese culture in Japan was amazing. Anyway, so I decided that I realized that I missed the writing component. So that's when I started my other blog, my second blog, thewanderingidentity.com. And as I said before, you know, the more I wrote, the more stories I shared, the more interest I got, you know, not just through friends and family, because of course they're always there to support me, but also through other people that I didn't know, you know, just fellow global nomads and fellow third culture kids. And it was really beginning to resonate with those people, particularly the third culture kid community. Yeah. And then I thought, okay, well, I really think that I need to do more. And that's why it led to me writing the novel. So, well, the memoir, let's say. And I'm hoping to finish by July. Ooh. That's my hope. And I'm actually really on track. I'm doing very well. And then after that, I'll send out my book proposals to as many publishers as possible and see what happens.
Here it is.
Send it out. And yeah, we'll see. And then I really would like to have it published traditionally. But, you know, nowadays you can self-publish too. So I will start off with the traditional publication, send out my proposals, as I said. I'll wait a year because it does take a long time, I've been told. And then if it doesn't get picked up, then I'll just self-publish. Mm. I do already have, you know, another idea of the next book that I want to write, which is about my grandparents' story, which is fascinating. And my mother is actually from Gibraltar. Which is in a really crazy kind of quirky community as well. So lots and lots of different ideas, and I'm just enjoying it. I'm loving doing this. I'm loving the creativity because I've always been quite creative. I also, I paint, I draw, but this is creativity showing in a different way, and I'm really, really enjoying it.
Oh, definitely. One of the things that I've learned doing this show is really that creativity, when it's not expressed, is coming out knocking on your door and just trying to find different outlet of expressing itself. And yeah. If we have this talent, anyone is creative in a different way, but it expresses in different ways to everyone, of course. And if writing is your thing, of course, it will show up. And I'm sure you will have a lot of success in publishing your writing and your books.
Well, I hope so. Cross fingers. I believe in perseverance, in stamina, and just, you know, getting to the finish line, which is actually a really difficult thing for me to do because of all the changes that I have experienced throughout my life. Getting to the finish line or making a deadline is super challenging for me.
How are you finding now that you own the time, or that you can really manage your own time of defining this deadline for once, instead of being dragged to a different country because you had to move? Does it feel different?
It's actually really interesting, because writers would absolutely dream of having the kind of time that I have right now to be able to sit and write. But I am a people person. I love interactions with people. So it's been quite lonely for me, because we move from Italy to Spain and then from Spain to Greece. And I actually told myself, okay, Sam, you're not going to do your usual thing, because every time I move to a new place, I connect with an international women's association. Mm. I connect with a writers association, you know, and I do all these different things, you know, connecting with people. So I very quickly, you know, start connecting. And I said to myself, I'm not going to do that in Greece, because I need to write my book.
Very diligent.
And it's been amazing because I am getting the work done, but it's been really lonely because I've been doing something that's kind of a little bit foreign to me, not reaching out. But anyway, it's a good thing. I can really actually see, I can see on my computer that this strategy is working. So what I want to say is it's never too late to change your ways, I guess. Be open to changing your strategies and your ways, and you'll never know what will come out of it, I guess.
That's a great suggestion, and thank you. I was curious to know, how do you maintain these persistence? How do you connect with groups, or have you taken any course to improve your writing skills? Do you have any tribe you plug into when you need to?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I say it's lonely, it's not like don't picture me sort of sitting in a room and not speaking to anyone all day. No, I don't do that. I actually belong to this really great community called London Writers Salon. Mm. And basically, it's a community where you connect. You can connect actually up to four times a day online, Zoom, and it's an hour each time. And yeah, it's been amazing.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's great. So I managed to connect three out of the four times a day. So that's 3 hours of writing a day.
Oh, wow.
That I dedicate.
So this helps with consistency, accountability. You have a group that you feel to belong to.
Yes,
that's a very great tip.
Yeah. And on top of that, I do actually have a couple of ladies that I meet on a monthly basis who I met through another course that I took, and we've just continued meeting up every month, even when we don't have a particular project that we're working on. And that sort of accountability helps hugely. And, you know, whether they're basically what happens is that you email them your latest 30 or 40 pages, they have a read, and then it's just basically a discussion. Because they're not editing your stuff, we're just discussing. It's been hugely helpful. I think that is the key, really, because writing is an incredibly lonely art form, I think. Mm. So, and because of the people person I am and I like to connect, these two things have really helped me.
I think it's important also to think about how we need to, being social animals, we really need to have someone else to relate to. And when it's not family around us, if we are doing a project, we also want to have someone else to discuss things with, maybe compare, or even also networking, that we haven't talked about networking, except when you said, yes, that for you is important to reach out to a women association in every country you land. I wanted to commend that. As a suggestion to newcomers to a new country, is the perfect way to make new friends and to feel less lonely, of course, because we always miss the family support in every country we move. But not only that, you really create meaningful connection that has also helped to stay aligned to what were your values.
Yeah, you know, networking is super important. I realize that, especially if you're planning on publishing a book and things like that. But I do, as you said before, I really do believe in real connections. So, for example, you know, I am on all the social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. But when I do get a new connection, for me, it's really important to actually connect with that person. It's not about, you know, the number of clicks and likes and hearts. And for me, that's not important. It's about actually connecting. So if someone randomly decides to follow me, I'll send them a message and say, hey, yeah, thanks for following me. And start a little conversation. So I feel like I'm properly connected with all my followers. I don't actually have that many followers right now, but it's slowly growing. And I truly believe that, as I said before, it's not about the numbers. It's about the real, real connections. I wanted to talk to you to give a quote about that writing is a lonely job. Mm. It's actually from Stephen King on his book on writing, Memoir of the Craft. It's a fantastic book. And he says, writing is a lonely job. Having someone who believes in you makes a lot of difference. They don't have to make speeches. Just believing is usually enough. So by Stephen King. So it's actually super important to have your little network around you. And as an expat, as a global nomad, as someone who has not ever really had the extended family around her, I feel it's super important that every time I move to the next place, I have to create it myself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to create it, no one else is going to do it for you. So it's up to you.
Yeah, I love what you mentioned, create your own help if you need it.
Yes.
It really brings the focus on being intentional in doing things and not just letting the situation be your own environment and having an impact and you're not making an impact on the other way. So I think this is super important. Thank you. Lots of beautiful and interesting tips you are giving to our listener today. Thank you, Sam. It was a very interesting conversation. I just like to finish with asking a question that is not in the questionnaire.
Okay.
I like to ask this question. Did you ever have, maybe it's not pertinent to your story, did you ever had a sliding door moment in your life through all your changes?
Mm. Yeah, like the film.
Mm.
Sliding door moment. I guess, yes. So again, going back to the real connections and having, you know, for me, family is incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I haven't mentioned is that I was sent away to boarding school for a certain amount of years throughout the time that my parents were living abroad. And I decided that I wasn't going to do that with my children, even if, you know, we were moving from one place to another quite regularly. My mother said to me, well, why don't you just send them to boarding school? I was like, for me, no, I want to be together. Okay. Family mm-hmm. is super important. We need to stay as a family unit and move together, even if it will, you know, create problems and issues. And one particular time when we were living in Japan, I was actually working as the admissions director for one of the international schools there. And I loved it. I absolutely loved the job. It was the most amazing job ever. It was perfect for me because I was basically helping people like me choose the right school for their children in an international environment. I was able to speak the different languages that I speak and I was thriving. And, you know, my husband at the time was like, well, what should we do? Should we stay? Shall we go? Should we stay? And I was like, let's stay. And then he said, you know, I actually do have an opportunity to go to the US. So that sliding door moment was, for me, it wasn't really, I didn't hesitate because for me, family is super important. So of course, he is the one that's always held the fort in terms of, you know, mm-hmm. making money, etc. I've always held the fort in terms of everything else. And it was a no-brainer for me. I just went, okay, let's just go as a family. But it was a difficult decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't regret it one bit. It's about believing that the next step is really where you should be and owning the moment again, just being present, being fully present and accepting your situation and just, yeah, being positive.
That's really beautiful. I think it will help me hone in the moment now of changing my status here in Australia.
Well, that's, you know, super exciting as well. Super exciting.
Yeah, you know, we discussed about that. It was really beautiful hearing your story. Thank you so much. And I think what you express when you were talking, especially about your job in Japan, was really seeing your talent and your mission all together. You know, the famous Ikigai, you were expressing, yes, your own Ikigai. And I felt that probably you were feeling the contribution of your experience,
yeah,
with other,
absolutely,
families.
Yeah, it was amazing. If I could do that job again, I would. But it's not the time right now. The time right now is to be fully into writing my memoir.
Absolutely. And we can't wait to see it published and let everyone know where they can buy your book.
Absolutely. I will definitely let you know. Well, thank you so much, Sam. It was so lovely talking with you.
Thank you, Sam. It was amazing to be able to tell your story. Fascinating. Lots of tips. You can find the episode on Reinventions in Between. It will be published soon. You can listen on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, and I will add all the information that you mentioned in the show notes. Do you want to mention your website where they can find you?
Yes, www.wanderingidentity.com.
Perfect. And I suppose your book will be on that page as well. And other notes will be added, also the quotes, the beautiful quote you mentioned before. Thank you so much and see you next time.
See you next time. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Now, I want to hear from you. What's your number one takeaway from my conversation with my guest? We would love to hear your comments. You'll find all the links in the show notes. If you're curious about reinvention, go download my free guide, Your First Steps. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you'll never miss the opportunity to spark curiosity and get inspired on how you can navigate change in your own life.